Greetings and salutations all. I'm John Beck, the host of Hiring University. Welcome to today's episode. We are extremely fortunate to have an industry icon, and that's not embellishing at all. Karen Maroof, VP of Supplier Relations at Workforce Logic, and come this October, a 30-year veteran in the staffing industry, is with us today. Karen has pretty much seen and done it all as it relates to staffing. And we're going to spend the next 20 to 30 minutes talking about the state of the market as it exists today, how suppliers are responding to what's happening to them and to the market at large, and then where the opportunities lie for us to potentially reinvent or innovate or accelerate the innovation that might have been in play, but maybe moving a little faster these days. And finally, we'll spend a little time with Karen talking about her own career and personal experience, which hopefully our listeners can glean from as they think about their own careers and where they want to go within the industry. Karen, welcome.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the role that you play in Workforce Logic.
Sure. Well, today I am the VP of Supplier Relations for Workforce Logic, and my team and I manage all supplier relationships worldwide. I've got people in India, in Poland, and all over the United States. And our focus is primarily on working to make sure that we are forming strong partnerships with strong performing suppliers so that they are focused on our success just as we are, and so that our customers are getting the best talent quickly at fair market rates.
And so, Karen, you have a unique view into the global footprint of what's happening as it relates to staffing and hiring, as well as vertical market segmentation from technology to retail to hospitality to manufacturing. Give us a sense of what you're seeing and maybe some examples of, obviously there are areas that have been hit harder than others, but maybe some examples of where things are starting to return to normal or there's hope. Tell us what you're seeing out there.
Sure. Well, it's very interesting. And if there's a lesson that all of us can keep from this and remember from this, is to have a diverse customer profile. Nobody could have ever imagined that something was going to happen that was going to affect certain industries worldwide. So, you know, we've got some customers that are in travel and hospitality. We've got some in automotive. Those are, of course, down. The headcounts are down. They're looking for rate reductions. They're looking for increased payment terms. You name it. It's happening. And this doesn't just affect us. More importantly, it affects our suppliers, and that's my main concern. Now we've got some industries where this has resulted in increased needs. One of my favorite of that, I mean, some of them are obvious. There's been additional customer service needs and financial and those sort of things. But something I hadn't thought about until recently is we've seen an uptick in creative needs. And if you think about it, when you're watching TV today, how quickly did all of the advertisers transition from their typical commercials to those that were specific to the times we're living in? So marketing and creative is very important right now as well. And that's not something I hadn't anticipated. We're also, I'm glad to say, seeing some customers that are saying, okay, once we're back, we now appreciate and understand all you do for us, and we want to expand. We want to go into additional regions. We want to go into a different job, additional job categories. And so that's a great opportunity, again, not only for us, but for the suppliers.
I'm glad you brought that up. And I've lived that personally. And it's very easy, as I sit on the other side of it as a supplier, and we hear it from my team all the time, oh, the MSP model and the VMS model, you know, what value do they play? And, you know, the margins are low and what are they really doing? And I've always told my team, you know, because I've been around long enough, you have as well too, that correction was coming, right? We certainly didn't know it was going to be in the form of a pandemic, but we knew it was coming.
That's right.
And the message of client diversity, as well as the importance of those larger clients that are typically MSP or VMS run, are now where things are happening, right? The startups and the smaller companies, as they should, are being far more conservative. The bigger companies have demands, especially in the areas that you cited earlier around the digital transformation and creative or whatnot.
Yes.
And you guys are the facilitator for all that. And it would have been even harder without an MSP in play to even coordinate that happening remotely. So I think it is, it's a testament to what the value was. And it leads into my next line of questioning. There were changes underway and there are things that need to change in terms of the model. What are you seeing in terms of what was happening in the industry and the MSP model reinventing the shelf, as well as innovation? What's coming around the corner and maybe will happen sooner now that we're forced to do it?
Well, one of the things that, of course, is good for all of us is customers are realizing, hey, this working remotely kind of works. And, you know, we've all been faced with those job requisitions, okay, I'm going to use an extreme, where they're looking for a Workday consultant in Arkansas. They're not going to find it. But some customers are not going to want to hear, you need to find somebody remotely in another state that has those skills. Now they've seen that not only are many workers productive remotely, many workers are more productive remotely because they don't have the office distractions, the, hey, let's go to lunch, hey, let's go grab a coffee, all of those things. And they're able to focus on what they need to do. Or even just those drop by, can I ask you a quick question, right? If people have to make the effort to make a phone call or reach out to you, they will if they need to, but they're more likely to look for the answer themselves first, so you're less distracted. So remote workforce definitely has been increasing for a long time and will be much more. And so that's one thing that's coming out of this. The other thing that I know we're looking at, and I'm assuming our competitors are as well, is there are things that are strategic and well-intended that you want to be doing all the time that maybe you haven't had the ability to focus on, and now you can. So not only are we seeing that there is going to be some changes in the staffing suppliers available in the industry, we are really focusing on our supplier optimization, which should make any supplier who's a strong performer happy, right? Because if you're a strong performer and you're going to be in the program and we're going to make sure we have just the right size supplier network, your opportunity to fill requisitions goes up a great deal. So that's another thing that we're looking at. We're also looking at solutions, not just from a customer's perspective, but from the supplier's perspective, because we know that for us to be successful, our suppliers have to be successful. And, you know, while there are certainly a lot of great large suppliers out there, I recently heard that in the U.S., a good 90% of the staffing suppliers out there run under $10 million in revenue a year. Mm-hmm. So that there are going to be some that are going to be struggling right now, right? Because of the things I mentioned before, rates going down, opportunities going down, payment terms increasing. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at what can we do to help our suppliers? Are there some things we can do to help them financially be successful? So we're looking at offering a variety of things there. I think also you and I talked about reinvention before, and that's something that came to me early on in this because everybody was saying this is an unprecedented time. And it is in that we've never had the world shut down because of a pandemic. However, it's not, if you look at it just from, it's a time where business has gone down. We've certainly had our ups and downs in this industry. So that should be looked at as an opportunity to look for additional ways of bringing in revenue, additional ways of bringing value to your customers, additional ways of increasing your market share. So in addition to what we're looking at with suppliers, we really are leveraging our Engage platform to provide predictive analytics to our customers, to increase our abilities as far as RPO, to really identify every single corner of workforce support we can give to our customers. You know, everybody's always talked about total workforce management, and I've even heard some say that it is a nice catchphrase but doesn't really happen. And I have to say we're doing it. Mm-hmm. With the direct hire, how can we help with the ICs and the compliance? What can we do to help you do your workforce planning? What can we do to help you with your contracts? What can we do to help you with your HR? We're looking at every way that we can add value. And at the same time, every company out there should be looking at what are we doing that we can do better today? Mm. Is it the right way? Are we doing things just because we always did them and they're not bringing value? Are we doing things in ways that take more resource time than they should? Are there things we should look at centralizing? Are there things we should look at outsourcing? All of those things to make the company more efficient so the focus can be on providing value to the customer.
I think a real yearning and belief and want to work together to solve the problems. We're all in this together at the end of the day.
Yes.
And
yes.
Again, one of the, I think the positive outcomes for our industry is, especially within larger MSP-led programs is, and this is also one of the knocks on the model is, there's disintermediation of people, right? It's all about metrics and it's all about workflow and the human element has been lost. I think even in the last 60 days, you've seen a greater appreciation to reintroduce or appreciate the importance of the human in another. We're having more interaction with our program managers, hiring managers, feedback loop, and it's leading to results. And I think everyone on both sides is appreciative of it. I think we've just had this for so long, this conditioning that it's about the number, it's about the metrics, I can't be bothered, that taking a step back, we have a great appreciation, and that's really what it's all about. Do you agree? Are you seeing similar things?
I absolutely agree. I think, you know, I always do my best to have as many conversations as I can with suppliers. At the same time, there's so many that it's challenging. And the additional time has led to more conversations, more strategic conversations. I think we're seeing a lot more empathy in our industry. And I also think that there's more of an appreciation of the relationship and the importance of the relationship. Now, I do think metrics are important. I think what's lost, though, is when we look only at the metrics and we don't do the true analysis and get to the story behind them. You know, I always say supplier performance is not just in the supplier's hands, right? What can we be doing better to make our suppliers better? Are we doing the things that make sure that everybody has everything they need to be successful? You know, we need to look at everybody's involvement to get to those metrics. And we need to look at all the unique situations. You know, a wreck is not a wreck is not a wreck, right? So everything needs to be looked at with greater analysis to really appreciate who's performing well and really appreciate where we might be able to help others perform better. Mm-hmm. They might be able to do for us. This has been a great time for that as well. Suppliers are reaching out with and offering up additional solutions as well. You know, there's two sides of the coin. I get the, please, can you help us? We need business, which, you know.
Well, that's not new.
Right. And I equate it to when I was a young manager and somebody came to me and said, I need a raise because I need to put new tires on my car. Right. Get what you earn, right?
Yeah. So
then I get the other side of the coin that says, we know that things are tough right now. We want to help. So for the next 4 months, we're going to lower our rates by X percent. Hmm. Or, did you know that we recently added the ability to do COVID-19 testing and to place people doing that? Or here's what we've done to make sure our remote workers are successful, right? We're monitoring their performance this way. We're doing safety checks, whatever it is, things that show that they understand the situation, they want to be helpful. You know, I mentioned that there are some programs where they're looking at rate reductions, and those are never fun conversations, and we do everything we can to negotiate on behalf of ourselves and our suppliers, but we've had to have a number of those conversations. And the response can be, you know, that's it, I'm out of here. Or the response can be, we completely understand. We know it's a tough time. We hope that there'll be the ability to look at increasing rates again when the market is better. That's a healthy supplier.
The way that I've messaged this to our team is the playbook that we were operating with not necessarily isn't relevant, but it's going to change and we're going to add chapters to it. And the temperature screener is a great one. We've been approached by it as well too. And we had some people on the team this is like temperature takers. Well, listen, first of all, let's make sure we're in compliance with insurance. You can actually do it. But if we can, why wouldn't we do that, right? That's part of the solution. Right. Because that temperature taker is going to lead to a company reopening in whatever way, shape, or form and get us back to air quotes, normalcy sooner than later. And I think if you're That's not right. willing to adapt and be malleable, it's just going to be a challenge, because it's never going to go back to the way it was. And there's right. still plenty of this to play out that we're going to have to rethink and re-engineer. And that to me speaks to opportunity. So I'm that makes me very encouraged just about our industry as a whole. Yeah. And glad to
the other one I haven't had suppliers reach out about, but I've been thinking about, is people are going to need facilities people. They've got to reconfigure their office spaces. They've got to change for social distancing. They have to make sure they have access to all of the equipment, all of those things. And so there's an opportunity in that as well.
Yeah, we actually have a client that is in that space. Interestingly enough, one is they're very smart. They held on to, because they've been around for a long time, they had more cubicles sitting in storage for the last 10 years collecting dust that are now in high demand for people. I mean, people are going, cubes are back, people. Yep. Like it or not, they're coming back. And you just never know.
It's maybe it'll be plastic bubbles.
Or at least a shield, right? Plexiglass is hot as well, too. So,
Anyway.
Well, shifting gears here. So let's talk a little bit about your own personal history and areas where, again, you had experience that maybe helped folks as they think of, first of all, what's the, and this is relevant today, what's been the best and worst thing about working from home?
Well, I have been working from home for years.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah. And I sometimes call it living at work.
Mm-hmm.
My challenge. You know, I'm up in the morning, I get on the computer, I start doing things, saying I'll go get breakfast or take a shower in a minute, and next thing I know, I'm working away for hours. So that, to me, is just a condition of the fact that I happen to love working. Always have, always will. But that can be a trap of working at home, right? Because you don't have to make the effort to get ready, to get in your car, to drive there, and you don't have to leave at the end of the day. So that can be a challenge. I love working from home from the perspective of the ability to get things done and to focus. Although, frankly, that's not as good as it used to be, because now, you've got your Skype coming in, you've got your phone ringing, you've got your cell phone ringing, you've got your email pinging. You know, people are finding you. They're getting used to people being remote, so they're reaching out more than they used to. At the same time, you still can focus a little bit better than if you're in an office where there's impromptu meetings and disruptions and what have you. One of the challenges can be social, right? Mm-hmm. We are social people. We want to be around people. So I've always tried to make a point of scheduling, you know, lunches and meetings at coffee shops. And, you know, even sometimes, okay, it's been 3 days I've been at home. I need to make up an errand, right? I just need to get out of that. That's something we can't do right now. So that is challenging. And so I've learned to really, really appreciate Zoom or any of the technologies that allow me to look at your face, right? And not just hear your voice. And believe me, I'm not a lover of cameras, so I've come a long way there. So yeah, there's challenges. One of the great things about working from home, when you first start working from home, is there are cost savings, right? Okay. I'm not doing cleaning. I'm not driving my car. I used to put a good 15,000 miles a year on my car easy. I have a car that I have had since 2014 that is at 23,000 miles. So that's not bad, you know. But you do need to make sure you make time for that social interaction. Otherwise, it just is Monday bleeds into Friday and suddenly it's the weekend, right?
Yeah, I think, and we are also a virtual company, and we've been for the last 3 years, and we've learned a lot along the way in terms of how to manage people, the social engagement. One of the things that we're wrestling with now is we typically get together in person as a team quarterly. We're not going to be able to do that, at least for this quarter or the next few. How do we create something that is akin to that, to have more of the personal aspect of interaction as opposed to the work aspect? That's the other thing too. Right. You can have a lot of Zoom calls where you're talking business. You're missing out on a lot of the personal connections that people have, which is really important. So I appreciate all the comments. But I do think, to your point, we're proving that it works. And for those companies that can do it, and you know, we have competitors. I think it's a competitive advantage for us. I always have. I've talked to folks that are at other firms that are expecting, as soon as they can get back into the office, into work, they want their employees to do that. I personally think that's crazy. I think there's a lot of people who won't want to do that out of either fear or because they are become accustomed to the alternative, and that breeds opportunity. So time will tell, but I think it's right. A fascinating case study, and I think it's going to shed a lot of light.
The history of our own industry. Remember the days where if you wanted to work in a market, you had to have brick and mortar in that market?
Yes. Yeah.
Now we have suppliers with one location servicing, you know, many countries. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that a lot of businesses going the direction we went a long time ago.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think that centralization or the ability to work remote was somewhat motivated by the MSP, right? Because as you said, lower margins, however, bigger opportunity.
Right.
To think about, let's not put all our money in that basket. Let's put it into recruiting.
Couldn't agree with you more. Yeah. Let's shift gears here. I just invented or come across the Wayback Machine. And Karen, I bought you a ticket. You can hop in and go back to when you first started your career back at Nelson. I'm not going to give a specific date, but people can do the math. What do you tell Karen then with all the experience that you have now? What are one or two things that you tell yourself that you learned along the way that you wish you knew when you first started?
Well, everybody, you know, as we age says this, but just don't sweat the small stuff. Because I'll tell you what, when I look back at my career, it's been pretty amazing. I mean, I have had the opportunity to do so many things. And what I did well that I didn't realize I was doing well at the time was consistently said, I can do that, right? I'll give you my first example, and I'll try to be quick about it. When I was with Nelson Staffing on the temp desk, which is what we called it back then. By the way, I started with Nelson Personnel. That's how long ago it was. They said, we don't have enough candidates. Sound familiar?
Mm.
We need to start training. We need to start training people on Word, Excel, PowerPoint. For those of you young people listening to this, not everybody had those skills.
That was a thing, yes.
Yeah. So I said, I'll be a trainer. Guess what? I didn't know Word, I didn't know Excel, and I didn't know PowerPoint. I went out, I bought the dummy books, I went in on the weekend, and I worked on the computer, and I gave great trainings. So that I think that's just inherent in who I am.
Hmm.
People ask about career path. I'd love if there was a nice, neat path. But I was on a temp desk, and then I managed the temp. And then I went to corporate as a business analyst in the IT department. What? How did that happen? They were looking for people and said, you know, Karen's real good on the computer, and I interviewed and I got it. And that's how I wound up in MSP, because I was the IT consultant assigned to CWM Edge, which was the first MSP that Nelson created. I then got the opportunity to help build a VMS. I was the user interface person that said it needs to do this, that, and the other. And I want to tell you, I know more about databases than I ever needed to know. Then I went on to product management, never having done that. Product management, writing functional specs, writing requirements documents, meeting with teams to identify requirements. Then I went into product marketing. Then I helped to sell the company. And then I went into account management and now supplier relations. And the reason I'm in supplier relations, before supplier relations, I ran our corporate initiatives group, which was a lot of fun, talking about robotics and all this good stuff. But I kept seeing that we needed more focus on relationships with suppliers. Because from my perspective, and maybe it's because I was one, I really believe the key to any successful MSP is making sure you have the right suppliers, you're giving them what they need to be successful, and you're rewarding that success with additional business. Because ultimately, you're not just competing for my business, I'm competing for your talent. And if I'm not important to you, your best candidates are not going to my customers.
Well said. And you touched on at least 10 of the jobs that you've had along the way. At least 10. I think yeah. I lost count. What's the most insane, craziest, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just saw or heard that experience or story that you've incurred over the time in the industry? Because I'm sure there's been quite a few. Without naming any specific, check the innocent or the guilty.
Okay, well, I can go way back or I can, okay, so I'll give a recent and then I'll give a way back one, which is really silly. Recently, I started looking at, well, you know, I'm passionate about this, ethics in our industry. Mm-hmm. And so I started talking to a number of suppliers and I led a roundtable discussion on it and looked at different things. And we actually found an ad, a supplier did, from a company that said, we edit visas, driver's license, resumes, da-da-da. You get a discount for a large volume. I mean, they were advertising this service.
Wow.
Which is some of the things that are going on in our industry.
Yes.
You've all heard about the person at an interview, the wrong person showing up. Sure. You know, resumes are all over the place. And that's something that I really speak about in an effort to change it and in an effort to make suppliers understand what we will and will not accept, right? And I think some of those very suppliers are probably some that are affected today.
Right. By the way, for those listening, I can confirm that this is the real Karen Maruf. I did validate
it. So no There's imposters. Only one, thank goodness.
No imposters on the show. So rest assured, it's the genuine article. Karen, what's one thing that you believe about yourself is true that mm-hmm. others maybe don't, that you think is true about yourself or something about the way things should work that others disagree with you on?
So first I'll say, I think that's a hard one for me because I think you know me well enough to know that if you know me, you know me.
Yeah.
I don't hold much back. I think... Okay, this is going to sound rude. I am shyer in some situations than people would think. You know, so outgoing, so gregarious. I am phenomenal in front of a group. I'm not that great one-on-one at a cocktail party. So that's a personal thing about me. People wouldn't
know. So I'm personally going to disagree with that, and that's a surprise. I would not have guessed that.
Thank you. I guess I've. Long way in that area.
You're fooling a lot of people. Okay. So part and parcel to that. Sorry, keep going.
What was the second part of the question?
Well, let me ask you, let me reframe it a different way. So I just bought ad space on the 101 North for those of us in the San Francisco Bay Area for you to post something about, has to be about yourself. What do you put on the billboard that you choose to talk about yourself or promote yourself?
I believe that if you always do what you believe is the right thing, you go where you're supposed to go. Every day I want to go to bed at night and feel good about the day. That's it.
Is that what inspires you?
Yeah, absolutely.
What pisses you off?
People who don't. Oh, that's an easy one. So, well, one of the things that I never hear from my employees because they know better and I hate hearing from anybody else is not my job. If somebody reaches out to you and you need and they need something, you either do it or you help them get it from where it needs to be gotten. Not my job, doesn't work.
Do you think that's true of humankind or do you think that's generational? I'm going to pick on the millennials here for a second. Has it gotten worse, better, different?
There's many, many things I appreciate about the millennials. But yes, to some degree, it has gotten worse. There is an expectation that this is what I do and this is the box I live in. And there's also the expectation that if I go beyond that, I get more. I went beyond that and I got a career out of it.
Yeah, I think that way of thinking is going to have to change. So I coach a lot of kids and we have a lot of, you know, the message to the younger generation is this is, because you're reading so many articles saying, oh, the millennials now, they're screwed. It's going to be so difficult for them. And yes, it's going to be harder, but I think that's opportunity. Here's your opportunity to rise up, think differently, demand the change the way that you want to think. It goes more than just posting on Instagram. You got to put it forward with action.
Right.
Time
and
will
I
tell.
Will tell you, there's many things I appreciate about that generation as well. I mean, they care a great deal. And I'm generalizing. I think every individual is an individual, but I see more empathy in the workplace. I see more of a desire to improve their little part of the world. And I think that's great.
Completely agree. Last question. I've grilled you for about 20 minutes and change. What question, one question do you have for me?
Oh, goodness. Goodness. Well, yeah, I've had the opportunity to work with you for a little while and your company as well. What do you consider the best prospect? What's a good customer for you?
The short answer is one that is engaged. The term partnership gets thrown around far too loosely. It's convenient. Yes. To me, a partnership is a two-way street. If I'm going to invest the time and energy, my number one least common denominator expectation is that you'll reciprocate in kind. And we may find over time that it's not the right partnership. And the only way to determine that is if we do our due diligence and say, yep, there's a fit, we're going to go dance together, let's find out. Odds are, for both committing the same amount of time and energy and resources to it, there's going to be some level of success. And that's what drives me crazy is people that give lip service to it and can't, you know, and some of it comes down to common courtesy. Some of it comes down to your example of not my job. Like, you know, if we're partners, we're going to work to create, because it's should be symbiotic and we should both benefit from it. So that to me, doesn't matter if you're Fortune 100 company or startup company, the same rules apply.
Yep. The only thing I will say with that, I agree with that, but sometimes you have to put in a lot before you get the get back, because it's just a condition of the business, right?
Absolutely.
Have it to give. Yes. But if there's sincerity in the conversations, that'll lead to something eventually.
Yeah, we play the long time horizon, and that's where you'll find out over time. So yeah, no, and that comes down to short attention span and what's in all those things. So I digress. Karen, listen, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your insight and, you know, the stories that maybe we all know are out there, but people don't share. tell us where people can find you and, more importantly, Workforce Logic before we go.
Well, our website's workforcelogic.com. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me at kmaroof@workforcelogic.com. I'm always happy to communicate. Sometimes it takes me a little while to get back to you because there's lots of you, but everyone's important, and I want to get back as soon as I can. So please do reach out if anything in this conversation struck an interest. I welcome you to reach out. And I thank you, John. And I was just thinking that I should have worn my Ursus hat.
That's not, no, well, in full disclosure, yes, we are a Workforce Logic supplier and we do give out the occasional swag bag. I appreciate the plug. For those listening, you can feel free to hit me up. There's plenty more where that came from. Karen, thank you. Stay safe, be well, and thank you for those listening, and we'll see you next time.